I'd like to turn this evening back to the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and chapter 2 and look together at four words that you will find in verse 14. Just four words. He is our peace. He is our peace. In Romans 5 verse 1 we have similar words. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, there are many who believe that they can make their own peace with God. Actually, in this chapter, as we read it earlier, you may have recognized we have a very plain statement about the human condition that we are all in. Maybe you've heard people, the pundits and so on television news programs, they come on and on the radio and they basically say this. They say that people are generally well, morally upright. On the whole, yes, a few of them fall and make mistakes, but on the whole, they are well. Others recognize that men, women, boys, girls, are to some degree sick. There is a moral corruptness. But the Bible tells us here perhaps the most shocking statement of all, that we're not well, we're not morally sick, we are spiritually dead and morally corrupt. There is none righteous. Not one of us here tonight can claim to be right with God of our own doing. We are spiritually lifeless, and all of us have sinned against him. So to put it like this, it's too late for you to make your own peace with God. That time has passed. If you are spiritually dead and lifeless, a dead person cannot do anything for themselves. They have no hope, Paul says. This is what you are like. You have no hope in the world. You're already ruined and undone. And so it's too late for you to make it right with God. So when you hear someone say, well, You can patch up your life. You can make yourself right with God. You can make your own peace with God by trying to patch up your own ways. It cannot be done. Many people have tried to please God, to try and change their old ways and turn, but they've found to their cost that it's a hopeless endeavor. You cannot make yourself right with God. Maybe tonight you think that you can make your peace. And many people do make a kind of peace with God. They kind of live what they think is a moral life, but it's a false peace. There is no hope in our own works. We cannot make ourselves right with God. And so in this chapter, we discover how many don't realize that they're in this state. And in verse 2, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul is saying here that so many people are like this. They have a kind of complete misconception of their spiritual condition. They live according to the power of the prince of the power of the air. Satan has a grip upon their life. And they have no hope. They are children of disobedience. They have no thought about peace with God, many people. They have no concern about it. They go on just as they want to go on. Others live in a state of false peace, thinking that they're right with the Lord. But the Bible tells us here so plainly, there's only one way to have peace with God. He is our peace, Paul says. Some of you may remember the account of Neville Chamberlain when he came back. I think it was 1938 when he came back from Germany, having seen Hitler, and he proclaimed peace in our time. He said, you could all go home and sleep well tonight because there's going to be peace. There's not going to be war. And then a few months later, war broke out. That was a false peace. And maybe that's what you're like. You're living with a false peace with God. You think everything's well. And yet, all is not well with your soul. And so tonight, I'd like us to think here, yes, we cannot make our peace with God, but He is our peace. Christ Jesus is our peace. He is the fountain of all peace in verse 13 here. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What is Paul saying? Well, he's saying the God of love, who longed for souls to know Him and come back to Him and have peace with Him, there was no other way to pierce our hearts but to send Christ. Send Christ into the world and to shed His blood. You who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Notice here how Paul puts it very plainly in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off. There's only two states. In Christ Jesus or far off from Him. The only way is to be brought into a knowledge of God's peace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean? What does it mean here when it says, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ? Well, he uses these words, Christ Jesus. Christ, you see, was the anointed one. God sent his only begotten Son. Christ means that one who was appointed by God. And Jesus means Savior. God had to send his only begotten Son into the world. And the Son of God came at the command then of the Father. He came from the glory of heaven. He was born in Bethlehem's manger. He grew up in a normal family, poor family. He was the Christ. Many prophecies had been given of his coming. The Jews were looking for someone to come for centuries before he came, but they didn't recognize him. And in the end, as we know, he was nailed by his hands and by his feet to the cross. And he was lifted high. And in those hours that he suffered on the cross, God the Father, as Christ was shedding his blood, God the Father poured upon him the wrath that was due for our sin. We were children of wrath. And the only way for us to be saved was for the blood of Christ to cover our sin. It's the only way for us to have peace with God. There is no peace without the shedding of blood. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, are brought near by the blood of Christ. The price, you see, was paid. God's justice was satisfied by the payment of Christ with his own heart's blood. Well, this evening I'd like just briefly to look at this peace in three simple ways by saying, he is our peace, firstly, with God, secondly, with others, and thirdly, with ourselves. Christ is our peace with God. How does he become my peace with God? Well, I must recognize who he is. He is our peace. Who is this he? He, as we've already mentioned, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We must recognize him, and we must recognize that he alone is our hope. We can make no peace with God ourselves. It must be through Jesus Christ and him alone. And we do this by reflecting on our old life, recognizing our waywardness, as it says here in verse 2 and 3, in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so when we come to recognize Christ, the only way we can know him as our peace with God is by turning from our old life and coming humbly unto the Lord for forgiveness and leaning wholly upon what Christ has done. We come saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I have no hope in myself. Christ alone is my only hope for peace. And Christ will make our peace with God on our behalf. He already has done that for us on the cross. So how does he become our peace with God? Through repentance, through turning from our sins and our wayward life. And he has promised to give us a new life, to make all things new. He's not only cleansed us by the power of his blood, but he's quickened us in verse 1. He's made us alive again. He's resurrected our soul. You who were dead in sin, in trespasses and then sins, hath he quickened. He's given us life, spiritual light and understanding and hope. And so this is how he becomes our peace. We turn from our sin and we rest our soul upon the work of Christ, and he gives us a new life. He takes away all old things, all old desires, all old attitudes and motives by his power are laid low in our heart. Christ has done so much for us. When we come to him, we taste that peace. Peace with God. Because we know that all our sins have been dealt with. He's covered them all with his own blood. Taken away the hostility between our soul and God. We were children of wrath. But now we've been made children of God. And so, When we come to God through Jesus Christ, we can know that peace of soul, peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. All our sins, past sins. And maybe tonight you come here and you say, I cannot seem to find any peace with God. I've got such a weight of past sin. It's so great. It pains my heart so much. It seems impossible for me to know peace with God. But if you come through Jesus Christ, all your sin, past sin, present sin, and all future sin is covered by his blood. This is where we derive our peace from. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. All sin is dealt with. The penalty that was due for sin, the guilt that we had before a holy God, is all dealt with through Jesus Christ and his precious blood. So this evening you say, well, no help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh. And there is all my trust. We know God, the peace of God in our hearts, by coming through Jesus Christ. He is our peace with God. He's my peace. Because if I am his, I cannot be lost. This is another anxious thought that crosses our minds so often. What about me? I'm so weak, I cannot keep myself. Ah, he is our peace. And so we cannot ever be plucked out of his hand. We can never be a sheep that is lost. He is the good shepherd. And so he is my peace with God forever, for eternity. That no matter what happens, I cannot lose Christ. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? To know peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal peace, unchanging peace. What Christ has done for your soul cannot be undone. Once you come to rest in him. We haven't time to look, but in the first chapter, Paul tells us that even in eternity past, God set his love upon you. If you're one of Christ, even before the world was made, he loved you and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price for your sin. What wonderful comfort then is to be found by resting your soul in Jesus Christ. He is my peace in temptation, in trial. All things, I say, are working for my good. I was chosen by God. He has a purpose for my life. I'm precious to him. My soul is loved by the Son of God. And so in heaven, he is my high priest. He prays for me. He longs for my spiritual growth and good. So Christ then is our peace. He is our peace with God. Why? Because he purchased us with his blood. We are his. We are united to him. When God looks upon us, he looks upon us, and all he sees is Christ. We are in him. And so when we're in him, no sin is seen by that perfect, in that perfect Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect Lamb of God. And so when we're in Christ, our peace is with God is secure. We're united with him, hidden in the crucified. And Christ is united already to the Father. And so he has joined us together. He is joined to the Father, and we are joined to Christ. And so we are brought together. And there is peace between God and our soul. And there's no other way to find peace with God. Jesus said, I am the way to peace with God. You need that peace this evening. We all need the peace of God. Secondly, he is our peace with others. Paul goes on here, he's already mentioned the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. Here in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. But at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now you'll remember how there was a great difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The Jews would not have any dealings, if they could help it, with the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were often so irritated by the Jews. And there is this hostility for centuries. There is this great wall of division between them. You remember how Paul, when he went into the temple, and he was supposed to have taken a Greek into the temple with him. And there was a great uproar because the Gentiles were not allowed in the temple. Well, he is our peace with others. Because in Christ Jesus, we are made one body. Those who come to God through Christ are united together. One privileged people. You remember how the Jews were very privileged people. They were brought out by the hand of God, mighty hand of God, out of Egypt. They were brought through the wilderness. He built them into a nation. He favored them with his word. He gave them a covenant, a promise. He said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. You're to be a holy people, a worshipping people, a people who are resting on God. You will have no other king but God. And so the Gentiles hated the distinctiveness of the Jewish nation, the separate lives that they led, the strange customs that they had. There was a real enmity between them. But in Christ, these Ephesian Gentiles and these Jews are made one. All that enmity and hatred is put away with. There is no difference between them. If you look here in verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In that body of Christ, you can know the blessed peace with fellow believers, being fellow heirs of the promises of Christ. So to become a Christian is to know peace through him with others who have come to know him, and join that church of God, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Well, thirdly, he is our peace with ourselves. Now you might say, what do we mean? What are you thinking of? He is your peace with yourself. Well, Isaiah tells us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. We need a biblical, true peace within our souls daily. And how do we find it? We find it through Christ. Christ is our peace. He is that solid foundation. If you look here in verse 20, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When we know God and his forgiving love and have peace with him through Christ, then we yearn for that inner peace. You remember how Christ said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Peace comes to us then, not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of Christ in our heart. You remember that account of the demon-possessed man, the mad Gadarene, as he's sometimes referred to. And when the Lord Jesus Christ had worked that miracle of healing in his body and his heart, he was found, to the amazement of everybody in the town, to be sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. He found peace in Christ. He found that perfect rest and quietness only in the Lord Jesus. He is our peace. Peace with ourselves, within our souls. You remember on the Sea of Galilee, on another occasion, as Christ was sleeping on the boat, and there was a storm, and the waves were coming, breaking over the ship, and there was panic breaking out. And Christ continued sleeping. They came to him and they said, carest thou not that we perish? And so often our hearts are like that, aren't they? And Christ arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. And we read, there was a great calm. And that's what it's like when we come through Christ to have peace with God. We know this peace within ourselves as well. If we're in Christ, we'll know that rest. We'll know that steady, certain, sure, continual peace. Doesn't mean to say we won't have bad days, but we'll have that anchor for our soul, that's steadfast and sure and certain. And the Holy Spirit gives us this peace within. He comes into our heart and brings us the peace of Christ. Well, this evening, do you know anything of this peace with God? Have you come to repent of your sin and turn to Christ and flee to him as your only hope for peace with God? And to find that peace within your own soul as well. He is our peace. Well, this evening I'd like to just close with one last illustration of what it is to know the peace of God through Jesus Christ. There was a man called Horatio Stafford. In 1870, he was quite a wealthy businessman, He had 5 children. His son, his only son, died of scarlet fever. The next year, his property empire collapsed in the Chicago fire. And then 2 years after that, his 4 daughters were shipwrecked in the Atlantic and lost their lives. And his wife took him, she was rescued, she took him back to that spot. He said how overcome with peace he was when he stood at the spot where his daughters had lost their life. And with tears streaming down his eyes, down his cheeks, he wrote that hymn, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Tonight, can you say that in all honesty of heart, you've found peace with God through Jesus Christ? You know that peace. That peace which is sure and certain, and it is well with your soul.